Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good Tuesday morning. I hope that your day is going well. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we choose to rejoice no matter what's going on. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it because God is still God. He is King, and He sits on His throne, and He loves us. As John says, see how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God, and such we are. For this reason, the world does not know us because it did not know Him. Hey, God is God. He's in charge. He loves us. He is our Father and our friend, a friend that sticks closer than a brother, so we can rejoice. Well, I wanted to speak to you today on this subject, the thief versus the Savior. The thief versus the Savior. Many Christians are familiar with John 10:10, where Jesus said this, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly." Such a contrast between the thief, whom I believe Jesus is talking about the devil, he's the ultimate thief, a contrast between the devil and the Savior, between Satan and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the Bible tells us about two ways to go in life. And Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 7, where he instructed his listeners on the Sermon on the Mount, very important. He said, I memorize these things in New American Standard, and if I look at them in something else, it's hard for me. "Enter by the narrow gate," Matthew 7:13. "For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and many are those who enter by it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and few are those who find it." Two ways to go, broad road, narrow road, the wide gate or the narrow gate. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, I've used that scripture verse many times on the program. It's repeated in Proverbs 16:25, but it gives the same two things. "There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." Jesus is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through Him. And so He is the narrow gate and the narrow road that leads to life. But the broad road, that leads to destruction. It's a big old gate, it's a big road, leads to destruction. And it's the way that seems right to a man. It doesn't seem wrong to a man, it seems right to a man. It just sounds good, it sounds right. I had a guy, I believe he listens to this program. I don't know if he's listening today, but he's been emailing me, and he accused me of being arrogant and prideful because I told him, you know, he said he didn't believe in Jesus. He said, "I've not received Jesus as Savior and Lord." I appreciated his honesty, but I just told him very straightforwardly. I said, "Listen, if you don't, that's your choice. But here's what you need to know. You don't receive Jesus as Savior and Lord, you're going to die and go to hell. That's not the word of Jeff. That's the word of God. Jesus said, unless you believe I am He, you will all die in your sins. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin, the payment for sin, is death. Not just physical death, but spiritual death. Death forever. That's why the Lord calls hell the lake of fire. He calls it the second death. It's death forever and ever and ever. And so I told the guy that, and I mean, I don't know who this guy is. He knows more about me than I know about him. I just know him as Mike. But he's been respectful. But he said, you're being very arrogant. And I said, listen, you know, the Bible is just very clear. You can go your way if you want. God's not going to make you go His way. You can go your way if you want. There is a way that seems right. And obviously for lots of people, the way they're going seems right. But its end is the way of death. It leads to the same place. It always leads off a cliff. I was talking to my nephew the other day, back and forth on text, and I said the same thing to him. I said, your life is not going well. Just be honest. Look at the trajectory of your life. It's not going well. And he says, you look down on me. I said, no, I don't look down on you. I look at you and I see a guy who's in a car speeding in the wrong direction, and you're getting ready to go off a cliff, and I'm trying to warn you, don't keep driving in that direction. And he said, well, I don't believe that. I said, okay, well, that's your choice to not believe it, but here is what God says in his word. So this guy, Mike, that was accusing me of being arrogant, he said, you know, you say if I don't believe your way that I'm going to go to hell. How arrogant. I said to him, I said, hey, what would it have been like if you had been living during the time of Noah and you heard Noah preach? You know, Noah's called a preacher of righteousness. And you saw the big vessel he was building, and Noah was telling you that a flood is coming and that everyone is going to be destroyed unless you get in the ark of safety. And this ark is huge, and there, as we like to sing in that old hymn, there's room at the cross for you. Hey, there's room in the ark for you, is what Noah would be saying. It was a huge vessel for just the eight people that were in it, along with all the animals, but there was room. And so I said, if you had been around during Noah's time and he were to say to you, hey, this is the only way you can be saved from this this judgment of water that's coming from the Lord, I said, would you have called him arrogant? Would you have said he's prideful? Would you have said to him, well, Noah, you're saying if I don't believe what you're saying that I'm going to die in the flood? So how arrogant are you? I said, you know, there are just some things that are right and some things that are wrong. It's not a question of being arrogant. It's just a question of, am I telling you the truth or not? As Paul said to the Galatians, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? But, you know, it's exactly what Jesus said in John chapter 3. I think this is very interesting. You know, John 3, Jesus talks to Nicodemus. He tells him, you must be born again. And then the verse of all verses, we would say, in the New Testament, as far as popularity goes, as far as notoriety goes, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world. He doesn't want to judge the world. He wants to save the world. And then he says this, and this is the judgment, that light is come into the world. Jesus is the light of the world. Light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who practices the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be manifested as having been wrought in God. I was listening to a sermon the other day by a little sermon snippet by Adrian Rogers, and he was talking about why did the world hate Jesus? And make no doubt about it, they did hate Jesus. And he said, no, the masses love Jesus. Well, Jesus ended up getting crucified. So he did something to make people so mad at him that they were willing to lie about him to get him on a cross. And he said, did the world hate Jesus because he fed the multitudes? No. Did they hate him because he healed the sick? No. Did they hate him because he raised the dead? No. Did they hate him because he cast out demons? No. Here's what Jesus said, John chapter 7, verse 7. The world cannot hate you, but it hates me. Why? Because I testify of it that its deeds are evil. I shine the light on the evil, and the world does not like that. So the idea that you would tell somebody, hey, unless you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, you're going to die in your sins. And to believe doesn't mean just you check it off a box in your head. It means that you believe to the point as Thomas believed, and fell down and said to Jesus, my Lord and my God. True belief comes with repentance. It comes with surrender. It comes with the realization that Jesus Christ is God in the flesh who died for us on the cross and rose again from the dead. And Lord, I believe and I'm trusting you and I'm following you. Unless you believe that I am He, you will all die in your sins. And that's just the truth of Scripture. I told this guy, I said, you know, I didn't write the Bible. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And I base everything I believe about God and the Lord Jesus and the Holy Spirit and heaven and hell and repentance and life and death. I base all of what I believe from the Bible. And I asked this guy, I said, what do you base what you believe on? Well, it really boils down for most people, what do they base their belief system on? Well, this seems right to me. There is a way which seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. You know, it says in the book of Judges, and there was no king in Israel. Each man did what was right in his own eyes. He doesn't do what is necessarily wrong in his own eyes. He does what seems right to him. And, you know, this idea, you think about the war in Israel right now between Israel and Hamas. It's a war between good and evil. Hamas is so evil. And where does it get its evil ideology from? From Islam. From following in the footsteps of Muhammad. It's a sick, sick, twisted, satanic teaching that has infiltrated all those people's minds and hearts. And they do what they think is right. They do. They're so twisted and so perverted. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. And the devil's Jesus said of the devil, he is a deceiver. He's a father of lies. And they're so deceived that they think that killing people is a good thing, and that they are somehow serving God by killing people. It is so twisted. And so I ran across this today. It's a tweet that was sent by John Spencer. He's the chair of urban warfare studies at West Point. And he did a thread. He watched a 45-minute video footage of the October 7th Holocaust that was conducted by Hamas on innocent civilians in Israel. And this is what was one of the things that he said. Now, people are denying, oh, this didn't really happen. It's like, hey, they have it on video. And Hamas had GoPro cameras. They were videoing things, and they were excited about them. One Hamas terrorist used an Israeli woman's cell phone to call his parents. And here's what he said. Father, I am in, meaning he got into Israel. I just killed 10 Jews. Their blood is in my hands. Thank God. Tell mom your son is killing Jews. Dad says to him, he's talking back and he's just yelling, replying, kill, kill, kill. That was his response to his son. Thank God I'm killing Jews. Just sick, just twisted. Hey, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. That's the devil's plan. To steal, to kill, and destroy. What's the Lord's plan? I have come that they might have life and that they might have it abundantly. The Lord wants to give you life, not just eternal life, although that's a huge part of it. He wants to give you abundant life. So, he wants to change your life here and now and change your life forever and ever and ever. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. You can hear From His Heart every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. Well, we're up against a break. Don't go away.
You know, one of the most patriotic scenes you can experience in America is going to the Arlington National Cemetery and then attending the changing of the guard at the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. That's just one of the stops we'll make on our spiritual heritage tour in June and September of 2024. If you want to go to D.C. and you want it all organized, you just want to show up and have everything taken care of for you, then we're the tour for you. We're also going to Mount Vernon, the home of George and Martha Washington, on Saturday. In addition to this trip, there's the Colonial Williamsburg, Jamestown, and Yorktown tour, which is back-to-back with the D.C. tours again in June and September. All the information is available at spiritualheritagetours.com. SpiritualHeritageTours.com, that's with an S, and you can find out all the information there, and we hope to see you on one of our trips.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible, weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Scripture shows Jesus took time to get away from the crowds and find solitude. Society today is even busier and more chaotic. How much more do we need to find a place to get away and spend time with our Heavenly Father? AFA believes in following the example Jesus set, which is why we hope you'll join us April 3rd through the 6th, 2024, for the AFA Retreat. And Purcell Farms in Sylacauga, Alabama is the perfect setting to relax and experience unrivaled Southern hospitality. Stay in the three-story inn, where you get panoramic views of the foothills. Enjoy your meals made with locally sourced farm and garden ingredients, and take advantage of the amenities Purcell Farms offers. Join other believers for worship and be encouraged with messages from Bishop E.W. Jackson, Rob West, Jenna Ellis, Walker Wildman, and more. If you want to find out more about the AFA Retreat, Purcell Farms, or if you're ready to get your tickets now, visit afaretreat.net.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at afr.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back. We're talking about John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life and might have it abundantly. The thief versus the Savior. Satan versus the Savior. And I want you to think about what Jesus said the thief comes to do. He comes to steal. This is the plan of the devil. You know, the devil is very one-tracked, so to speak. And what does he want to do? I want to steal, just kill, and destroy. I mean, he's, as you may remember, I like to compare the devil to the Terminator, the original Terminator that came out way back when with Arnold Schwarzenegger, that took the nation by storm, this movie where he plays this machine. But the original Terminator, I mean, he doesn't feel pity. He's not going to stop until you're dead. That's the way the devil is. He is one-tracked. You can't sit down and well, let's have a conversation. Let's try and work things out. You know, we see Israel and Hamas. And so I was listening to Joe Rosenberg on Jenna's program just a little bit ago, and he was talking about, hey, they tried to have a ceasefire and talk through things. Well, who broke the ceasefire? Hamas. Hamas doesn't want to have an agreement with Israel. The phrase of Hamas that sickeningly people in America have picked up, especially on college campuses, from the river to the sea. from the river. I guess they mean the Jordan River, or they could mean the Euphrates River, but probably the Jordan. From the Jordan River to the Mediterranean Sea, we want to wipe Israel off the map. Well, if that's your only negotiating point, what can we do to work things out? Well, you can die. We can kill you, or you can commit suicide, but that's our only bargaining chip. You can't negotiate with those folks, and you just have to. I mean, it's going to be a battle to the death until they're totally destroyed. It's kind of like cancer in your body. You can't have a truce with cancer. You got to get it out, because if you don't, it's going to keep growing until it kills you. Well, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Now, lots of us, as we in our Christian lives, we still have to deal with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those things don't go away. And we are, the moment we come to Christ, we are soldiers in the Lord's army. We're witnesses. We're twice-born people living in a world of once-born people. And Jesus said, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. And we will have people that will hate us. And for what reason? Why did they hate Jesus? Because I testify against the world that its deeds are evil. They will hate you if you show them that they're sinners, in hopeless, helpless sinners in desperate need of repentance. But that's what we are here to do. We share the gospel. The gospel is good news, but good news is preceded by bad news. The good news only makes sense if you understand the bad news. The good news is that Jesus died for your sins, and that you don't have to die in your sins. You can be saved because he died and rose again. And that's the gospel. And it would be like going on to talking to somebody and say, hey, I got good news for you. I have the cure for your cancer. Well, if they don't believe they have cancer, you don't have good news for them. If they think they're healthy and fine, they're like, well, I don't want your medicine because I don't need it because I'm fine. Well, the gospel is medicine for us who are sick with sin. And until we understand we're sick with sin, we don't understand the gospel. You have to understand the bad news in order for the good news to be truly good. And so here we are doing battle, and the world is going to hate the message that calls sinners to repentance. And so if you want to have a ministry like some big national figures where you just don't use the word sin, you know, Joel Osteen says, we never use the word sin in our church. We don't refer to that. We don't want people to feel bad. We want them to feel good when they come here. Well, the world's not going to hate you if you never call the world to repentance. But the ministry of the Lord, of John the Baptist, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The ministry of the Lord Jesus, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. The ministry of the apostles, repent for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. God is now declaring, as Paul said to the Athenians on Mars Hill, God is now declaring that all men everywhere should repent. He's not willing for any to perish, 2 Peter chapter 3, but for all to come to repentance. Metanoia, change your mind. Change your mind, what you think about sin, what you think about self, and what you think about the Savior. Those things are critical. You have to change your mind and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Turn from sin and turn to the Savior. Well, when you call people to do that, they get mad. Why? Because there is a way that seems right to a man. How dare you call me a sinner? I'm a good person. I am trying to be upstanding and moral. I'm trying to do what's right in my own eyes. And if what's right in your own eyes is to say you believe the lie that you're owed all these things from society, that you got the short end of the stick and society owes you, so you can go into department stores and take anything you want. You can go into grocery stores, take anything you want, just walk out. What are they going to do about it? They owe you this. If somebody has something that you want, well, they shouldn't have that. I should have that. So I can go and beat them up and take that from them. And I am right and justified in doing that. Going back to Hamas and Israel, well, Israel's our enemy, and they're the little Satan. America's the great Satan. They're the little Satan. And so we are on a holy quest to destroy them. That's why, as I read that quote that, or that phone conversation between that Hamas terrorist calling his parents, I've killed 10 Jews, and his parents are rejoicing with him, kill, kill, kill. It's just sickening. The thief has done a number on those people in the Middle East. And what does he want to do? Steal, kill, and destroy. Now, think about this. We can get, even as Christians, we can get attacked by the enemy, the world of flesh and the devil. We can get attacked and we can stumble and we can start falling into sin. And what does sin do to the heart of a Christian, to the life of a Christian? Well, it brings such tremendous guilt and shame. And if you're living in sin, especially sexual sin, there's something about that. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, every other sin that a man commits is outside the body, but the immoral man sins against his own body. And it's just a horrible thing when you have sexual sin in your life. You just feel covered in the slimy fingerprints of the evil one. And there's a poem I like that says this: I have to live with myself, and so I want to be fit for myself to know. I want to be able, as the days go by, to look myself straight in the eye. I don't want to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things I've done. I was shocked to read a news account. This just came out in November, early November of this year. A man named Bubba Copeland, he was an Alabama pastor and a politician, mayor of Smith's Station, which is a small town there in Alabama, 6,756 population. Well, he had a little secret life where he had a dressed up in women's clothes. He was called himself a transgender curvy girl, and somebody outed him and said, "Hey, this is the mayor. He's a husband and a father of three." Well, he got up once that became public. He got up on a Wednesday night and expressed to his church, "Hey, that's just me kind of playing around, blowing off steam. Stress relief. I have nothing to be ashamed of." He actually told his church that. I was shocked that he said that. "But I have nothing to be ashamed of." And then shortly after that, he went and killed himself. The shame was overwhelming. He had much to be ashamed of. And here is the thief. And what did he do? He got it. I don't know a lot about Bubba Copeland's Christianity. I'm not trying to say he was a Christian or wasn't a Christian. I'm assuming that he claimed to be a believer, and maybe he was. But the thief had done a number on him and gotten into his life and brought destruction, because that's what the thief does. He comes only to steal away your joy, steal away your peace, steal away your marriage, steal away your relationships with people, to steal and to kill your testimony and destroy your life. Remember, he doesn't stop just because you put your faith and trust in Jesus, just because you become a Christian. You say, the devil lost you because now you've been found by the Lord, you've been saved by the Lord, so the devil's not going to come at you anymore. He will come at you. He still will come at you. Why? Because he wants to ruin your witness and destroy your witness. So that's his M.O., and that's his end goal, to steal from you, to kill you, to destroy your family, to destroy your kids. Jesus said, "I came that they might have life, to fill your life with his abundant life, to bring you eternal life." So the two parts of life: I came that they might have life, that it might be eternal, that you would have treasure in heaven, that you would have your eternity secure with the Lord in heaven, and that you'd have it abundantly. So that you come to Christ, let's say I was 17 when I came to Christ, and so I'm just not waiting around. I prayed to receive Christ at 17, and now I'm just waiting around until the Lord comes back at the rapture or until I die, and then I will get abundant life. No, he says, "I came that you might have life, heaven in the future, but then you would have heaven right now because you'd have a relationship with me. And I give you my Holy Spirit to live inside of you. And the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And so we can experience heaven on earth as we walk with the Lord, as we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light. Now, here is the kicker for a Christian. This is where the rubber meets the road. And I refer back to this often. My friend, Dr. Sudhir Jayaprabhu, it's the first time, I don't think it was original with him, but it's the first time I ever heard it was from his lips. He says, here is the key to the Christian life: your public life, your private life, and your secret life all have to be in the light with Jesus. You don't have anything in the darkness. God is light, the scripture says, and in Him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He Himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. So think about that, your public life. I mean, most of us as believers, the things that we do in public when everyone's watching us, the things that we do at church when everyone's watching us, we're not throwing temper tantrums, we're not cussing like sailors, we're not bringing in our alcohol or our drugs to church because we're in public. Your public life. And then you have your private life. Well, that's how do you act at home? How do you act with your kids? And your private life, I've had some tell me, well, my private life is really none of your business. Well, it's business. It's our business if you're wanting to be a deacon, or you're going to be a pastor, or you're going to be a church leader. Or, hey, if you're going to be a Christian who pleases the Lord, your private life is important. How you treat your wife, how you treat your kids, how you do things behind closed doors. But then every one of us has a secret life. That's the life you have and you keep away from your husband, your wife, your kids, your pastor, your friends. It's just, it's what you do in secret. Well, the Lord sees that. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, watching the evil and the good. And so our secret life has to be pulled into the light. Our private life has to be pulled into the light. Our public life all is in the light with Jesus, that He sees everything. And, you know, the great definition of the word integrity is this: nothing to hide and nothing to fear. Nothing to hide and nothing to fear, because it's all in the light. And as we walk in the light with Jesus, what does the scripture say? We have fellowship with one another. That's not you and me. That's not horizontal fellowship. That's fellowship me with God. And so I have this intimate relationship with the Lord when everything's in the light, everything is confessed. And I don't have to stand with the setting sun and hate myself for the things that I've done. And it goes on to say in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all, A-L-L, all unrighteousness, so I can be washed whiter than snow and clean before the Lord as I live my life in the light. Hey, He came that we would have life, love, joy, and peace, and have it abundantly, that would be overflowing as we walk with Him. God is such a good God. And as believers in Jesus, we have so much that we can enjoy every single day, regardless of the external circumstances, because Jesus lives on the inside through His Spirit. And it's on the inside that the Spirit of God gives us the love and the joy and the peace. And then we know this hope we have is an anchor of the soul, the Bible says, a hope that is steadfast and sure. What is the hope? The hope that the Lord is going to come get us, and He's going to take us to heaven. Jesus said, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. When we come back from the break, we're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you. to see how God has been working in your life, how you were going in one way, the broad road that leads to destruction, and how you came to Christ, and how you found the narrow road that leads to life. So give me a call, and let's talk.
The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the perfect opportunity to prepare for God's calling on your life. It's easy to make excuses why you can't pursue what God has called you to do, but this program removes those barriers. Flexible class options, an affordable cost, and highly trusted professors. WBS is the school for you, and now is the time to take a next step and prepare for God's calling on your life. Learn more at wbs.edu. That's wbs.edu.
Thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
This is Abraham Hamilton III with AFR, and we're sending Bibles. Here's Michael with Bible League International.
Abraham, I'm coming to you and your wonderful listeners today with a very special request for the month of December, and I'm remembering John 1, where the apostle writes, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The light has shone in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." And yet, would you know, in the regions of Asia, Africa, the Middle East, and Latin America, as many as 9 of 10 new believers have never read that scripture in their own Bible because they do not own one.
Everyone wants to read the Bible, but many of them will be sharing a single Bible.
Pastor Carlo there in the Andes Mountains will tell us that Christians are so desperate to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus, they are willing to share a Bible. This December, we want to bless 7,000 Bibleist believers so this year they can read for themselves the true Christmas story. So would you get involved today, Abraham?
$5 sends a Bible, $100 sends 20, $500 sends 100. Give by calling 800-YES-WORD, 800-YES-WORD, or visit sendbiblesnow.org. That's sendbiblesnow.org.
So right now may be the perfect time for you to rethink how you pay for health care. And here's why. Not only is it open enrollment for a lot of people, it's also a time you can join MediShare and save even more than usual. For many families, switching to MediShare saves about $500 a month, which is a game changer for a lot of people. But what's more, they like it. MediShare has double the member satisfaction rate compared to health insurance. Double. MediShare is a proven thing, too. For over 30 years, it's a Christian community of more than 400,000 members. And here's the thing, too. If you join before December 15th and you mention the promo code SHARE, you'll get another $150 savings. So I'll give you the number here in a second, but just call. You'll get a price within 2 minutes. And remember, the deadline is December 15th. So call now and you'll save even more. Here's the number, 833-44-BIBLE. That's 833-44-BIBLE, 833-44-BIBLE.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. We've been talking about the thief versus the Savior, Satan versus the Savior, John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but Jesus said, "I have come that they might have life and might have it abundantly." Well, we're opening the phone lines, 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you and to hear how you went from the broad road that leads to destruction to the narrow road that leads to life and how the Lord has worked in your life. And so we have Roxanne on the line from Texas. Roxanne, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning. I just wanted to mention, I know how much you love Adrian Rogers, and I have one of his devotionals. And for the last two mornings, this is what he's been talking about. And I wanted to share this one out of Psalms 119, 160 from yesterday. One of the greatest virtues of the scripture is that it is timeless. And It goes on to say, "Lord, your word is forever. It is firmly fixed in heaven." It says, "Long ago, I learned from your decrees that you have established them forever." And then he says, "Forever. Other books may come and go, but the Bible is here to stay. Thousands of years have passed since it was written. empires have risen and fallen. Civilizations have come and gone. Science has pushed back the frontiers of human knowledge, and yet the Bible still stands. I mean, that alone, the timeliness of the Bible. How,
yes.
And actually, that was one of the first things that made me think, wow, yeah, that's true. I mean, I just I love history, so I know how they've tried to destroy the Bible mm-hmm. since the beginning of time. And
right.
To me, that's a miracle
right.
of God.
Well, God
survived.
Yeah, God has preserved his word. And, you know, when you think about the Bible is written over 1,500 years with 40 different authors in three different languages on three different continents, and yet it all fits together, you just know this is not a human book. This is a divine book. Men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God, as Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1. And so it is awesome to see. Adrian used to say, you know, the Bible is not out of date. It's as up to date as today's newspaper. And it's fresh, and so we need to spend time in the Word of God so that we know. One guy said that, what is the Bible? It's God's mind in print. And so as we spend time in the Word of God, we start to know God better as we put his Word into practice. Now, we can't be hearers of the Word and not doers of the Word. So when you hear his Word, then you put it into practice in your life, and you see God do amazing things in and through you because you're trusting him and walking by faith and not by sight.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you, Roxanne. What part of Texas do you live in?
Conroe.
Conroe, Texas.
Not far from where your family is at.
Yeah. They're off of 242 in the Woodlands. And my daughter and son-in-law just moved out there. And my mom lives in Lakewood Forest, which is off of Jones Road and Grant Road, kind of close to
yeah.
Worldbrook Mall. So, well,
right.
Very
I
good.
I used to work out there. So.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Oh,
well,
yeah.
Great.
FedEx out there. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Well, hey, thanks for calling in, and I appreciate you listening to the program. God bless you. Well, we have Melissa on the line from Louisiana. Melissa, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. So I just had a need for insight in how to bring over the understanding on a person that did have a question. It was really good conversation, and then it just sort of shifted over to, do you know the Lord Jesus? You know, that's not really the name that was given to Mary, or appointed to Mary, is how he put it, that it was actually supposed to be Yeshua. Did you know this? And I've heard that through, you know, I'm 56 years old, and I've heard, you know, the Lord has many, many names. And of course, I didn't want to make an argument point, but I just stuck with, you know, the Word of God is the Word of God, and I know Jesus is the universal name, and that's what I'm sticking to. And he said, no, Google it. Google it. What is Jesus' name supposed to be? And watch what it tells you. And then he started, you know, speaking off point about, you know, the Bible and who was King James. How do we know that the Word of God hasn't been, you know, over and over written and whatnot? And I did not want to make that another point of reference. I just wanted in my heart to let him know a sure answer that Jesus, the name Jesus, yes, that is, it is a name that has been converted into an English version of the name of the Lord. And I just, to be truthful, I just wanted to have more of an answer for him, I guess you could say, and I'm looking for some insight on your end.
So he's saying that the name of Jesus, we shouldn't call him Jesus, we should call him Yeshua? What is he saying?
That's exactly what he indicated, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. That's
well,
exactly what he said, yes.
Yeah. Well, then, so the angel tells Joseph in a dream, you know, let's see where he says here, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. This is Matthew 1:20. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Yeshua, Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. And so the name Jesus is Joshua in the Old Testament. It literally means the Lord is salvation. Yahweh saves. That's his name. And so, you know, the English version of that is Jesus. If we don't speak in Aramaic or in Hebrew, and so Yeshua is probably what they called him. You know, if you could go back in time and you were in the first century there and you saw him, that they would call him Yeshua Enzaret, Jesus of Nazareth. So, yeah, we recognize him as that. He is the God of the Old Testament who took on flesh. And God exists. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness, Genesis 1:26. God exists as in Trinity. And so God the Father didn't become, he didn't put on flesh. God the Holy Spirit didn't put on flesh, but God the Son did. He put on flesh. He emptied himself of his deity, and he became a man. And his name was Yeshua, that we know in English as Jesus.
Yes. Beautifully, beautifully put into proper terms, and I like that. That's a very good answer. I do. I do hope that he'll come out to here. I'm going to be inviting my pastor, you know, to do a devotional twice a month here where I work, and it's amongst the seniors and disabled community. So I did invite him. So I hope maybe this can be a review topic of what possibly can bring more understanding to him.
Good.
Yes.
Very good.
Yeah, I like that answer. I do love it. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for calling in. God bless you, and may he use you in great ways. Well, we have first-time caller Tom on the line from Ohio. Tom, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor. How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you, Tom?
Well, I'm sitting here fighting back my emotions, remembering how the Lord delivered me from pornography over 30 years ago.
Amen.
I know our time is limited, so I just want to bear witness to the truthfulness of Scripture. And I want to tell you how much I appreciate your ministry and the way you are so skilled in applying and remembering all these different scripture passages that you recite off the top of your head. It's very helpful to me. I have a hard time listening to some pastors and teachers who never even mention the Bible. I mean, they're false teachers. That's all I can say. Hmm. But the Lord delivered me from pornography over 30 years ago. He brought this scripture to my attention. It's Ephesians 5:11. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't until I exposed my secret life to my pastor and some close friends, it wasn't until I exposed my secret life to them that the strength, the stronghold of that addiction was broken.
Mm.
And I walked out of the room where I confessed who I really was and confessed the awful sins of my secret life. It wasn't until then that I was set free from this addiction, and I praise God for it every day.
Amen. Amen. What a great testimony, Tom. Well, I know that speaks to lots of listeners, and, you know, men especially have a tendency toward that being a big, big struggle. And, yeah, when we realize that the eyes of the Lord are in every place watching the evil and the good, and that when we bring all of that into the light and confessing that to another brother, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed, the Bible says in James chapter 5, there's victory in that. And so God bless you, my friend. And thank you for your comments, and thank you for your encouragement, and thank you for listening to this program. Mm-hmm. And just wish you all the best, my friend.
Well, thank you. The devil wants to keep us imprisoned in the stronghold of these addictive behaviors. He wants us to live our secret lives and never expose it to anyone. But as long as we do that, he has this power over us that is broken when we finally come clean and expose these fruitless deeds of darkness.
Amen. A good, great word, great word. Thank you, Tom. God bless you. Well, I think I have my friend Lonnie on the line from Texas. Lonnie, welcome to the program.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. How are you today?
Doing great. How are you, my friend?
Well, I am doing so great and appreciate you so much for the truth that you preach, not only Sundays, but Wednesdays and even Saturday nights in this radio program. Pastor, well, you started out talking about the wide path that leads to destruction. It reminded me of two songs. One, Frank Sinatra really loved, I Did It My Way. And then the Eagles had a song, line, and it was Go Your Own Way. And I did that for about 65 years till I came to your church and realized that I wasn't saved. And I just want to thank you and praise the Lord. But I got saved last January, and I'm just excited about that.
Amen. Well, Lonnie, when you came to Christ and when you were baptized, it was just such a blessing for our whole church to see that. You had served as chairman of the deacons at a church in town, and you know, it's proof positive that we can just be religious and thinking we're okay until we really come to the place that we're sinners in need of a Savior. And so your testimony speaks to lots and lots of people, Lonnie, because I think that there are lots of people in church. They have churchianity, but they don't have the real thing, and they've never really surrendered their lives to Christ. So may the Lord give you lots of opportunities. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think you mentioned, you know, you have head knowledge, but you don't have heart knowledge. And so after being with you there, I found out that pride is one of our biggest enemies. So don't be too proud to admit you need help and that you're not saved.
Amen. Great word. Thank you, Lonnie. I'll see you later today at the senior adult luncheon. So God bless you.
Okay, buddy. Love you.
Love you. All right, we have time for one more caller, Janet from Texas. Janet, welcome to the program.
Yes, Pastor Jeff, you mentioned that Grace Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia was going to invite the drag queens in to present their Christmas program.
Uh-huh.
Well, I called Grace Baptist Church in Richmond, Virginia. I left a message. I never get to talk to anyone personally, but I told them, I said, the drag queens present a form of pornography. What they're involved in is pornography. And boy, this is fitting right with what's on. You know, I said, the best thing you can do for them, do not let them in your church, because you're going to let the children think they're okay. And I said, you're playing into the devil's hand, and you cannot let them in. Also, I said, the best thing you can do, take them out to eat, present Jesus Christ to them, so they can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ and be set free from this form of pornography that they're involved in.
Mm, that's good.
They don't need to be in a church.
Yeah, for sure. Well, I'm glad you called them, and I'm glad you presented the truth to them. And, you know, we don't have control over those people, but we can sure speak the truth to them, and God can use that. And so I appreciate you doing that, Janet. And hey, it's time for Christians to stand up. It's time for us to be vocal and to be vocal witnesses for the Lord, to walk in the light and stand up for truth. As the song says, stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Well, thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I'll be with you again tomorrow. And so go out today, shine and share, and let God use your life. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.